I'm Blake Collins.
And unlike Blake, I'm Nick Devadas.
And welcome to The Health Quest.
The Doolander's Health Quest. Yes, this is the series when we talk to experts in health and wellness about their top advice for people over 40.
Let's do it. Dr. James Stewart, welcome to the Doolanders. How are you?
Thanks, guys. I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, look, our pleasure. Hey, James, on the Doolanders, Nick and I are on this quest, quest to make the most.
To live forever. Let's be honest, Blake. We want to live forever.
We do want to live forever. And we want to share the tips on how to live forever for those people that might be north of 40, right? So we want to talk to people that will help us with our physical fitness, with our mental fitness, with our financial fitness. And we heard you on Nova and looked you up and learnt that you're an absolute expert in your field. So we thought your expertise was absolutely worth sharing with our listeners. Hey, James, who are you and what do you do?
Great. So my name is Dr. James Stewart and I am a GP registered with the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, but I am also a specialist in medicinal cannabis. So it's a new area that is emerging. Well, I shouldn't say new. It's the oldest medicine we have on the planet, but we have only recently been able to access it for medicinal purposes. So that is my area of expertise at the moment.
So we were having a chat before we started recording. So how does a DJ from the GC go on to become a GP and then become Australia's leading plant-based medical practitioner? That's a fair leap.
Yeah, it is. And I'm pretty much amazed as anyone that I speak to, especially the people that used to sort of go to the dance floor and watch me play, and then all of a sudden catch up with them a few years later and tell them I'm now a GP. And I'm pretty amazed that the old brain still works, actually, after the amount of time I spent under the strobe lights fitting around.
Right.
So, once I left school, got into sort of the clubs and promotions and DJing and that sort of thing, and then, it went pretty well. I owned my own bar restaurant up on the Sunshine Coast with my brother and my sister at age 23, so that was pretty wild times.
That's cool.
My DJing really started to take off, and then we sold the club, and then I kept playing around sort of Brisbane and southeast Queensland, and then I went overseas to England and played over there, and then pretty much just did a roll of sort of three or four nights in a row and burnt the candle at both ends, so to speak, and just had a sort of bit of an epiphany and thought, bugger it, I can't keep doing this. I need to do something else. Booked a flight, came home, went to uni to do biomedical science, thinking I was going to do something like PT. It was just when the big PT craze was happening. I was on the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast Titans were just starting, the Gold Coast Suns, and I thought, okay, there's going to be plenty of work in sport. And then, my first few subjects in anatomy and body science and that kind of thing, which I never did at school, I absolutely loved it, and it just stayed in my head. And I topped nearly all my classes the first year and got awards and things. And, then the university said, with your grades, you could come straight across into our medical program. So jumped on in, and at the age of 28, started the medical degree, and it's been the best thing I've ever done. It's absolutely amazing.
That's incredible. So did you think when you went back to uni that medicine would actually be something you'd want to pursue, or just because it came?
No, initially not. Initially not. I was thinking more exercise science, maybe physio, nutrition, something like that, because I've always been on that side of things, just looking after myself, exercise, diet, hydration, these type of things, which are important. So I thought, okay, I'll go back, and that's what I enjoy, so I'll do that at uni. But then it wasn't until I sort of did those human anatomy and biology and all this kind of stuff and immunology and all the sort of more science, medical-based subjects that absolutely loved it. And then when the uni planted the seed and said, you can become Dr. James Stewart, I'm like, oh, that's got a nice ring to it. So, away we went.
I only had to change one letter in your prefix as well.
Yeah, I know. Except I can't be Dr. Just James. I was Just James was my DJ name, but I think they don't want to take me serious. I was Dr. Just James. So, anyway.
That's amazing. So you went to become a mature age medical student, became a GP, and what's then the link between medical or medicinal cannabis?
Yeah. So, growing up on the Gold Coast and, surfing, and there was a little bit of cannabis around. We wouldn't, you know, we'd consume a bit and go for surf, go to Macca's, consume a bit. You know, it was sort of the daily Saturday routine. But yeah, then going through med school, we didn't learn a lot about, you know, hydration, about nutrition, about just the importance of exercise and all these things which seemed fundamental to me. And the whole way through, you know, we're just taught pharmaceuticals, we're taught this disease, you give them this pill for that, blah, blah, blah. And the whole holistic kind of health is really overlooked. Well, it was when I was back at med school. I think hopefully they may have changed, but that whole treating the person as a whole rather than a disease and one thing really wasn't pushed through at all. And then the same in the hospital rotations that we do when we first come out of medical school, you know, you're just throwing medications at people to try and get them close to being able to get out the door so you can free up the bed for someone else to come in. And it's just this revolving door of just slapping a Band-Aid on someone, get out of here, they'll be back in a month's time with the same thing. And I'm just like, this isn't good healthcare. This is wrong. And then GP years, you know, we learnt this condition, that pill, if they get that side effect from that pill, give them that one. And, you know, and that's why so many people over sort of 50, 60 are just rattling when they walk down the street because of what GPs do. And, you know, it's not, you know, that's just what we're taught. So, yeah, you know, it's not to blame the GPs, but it's what we're taught. I think the system fundamentally is wrong. And so, you know, I've always sort of, you know, in my consults as a GP, I would always encourage, you know, what are you eating? What are you drinking? How much exercise are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, a lot of people just, you know, weren't taught that at school even. So they didn't know those sort of fundamentals, and no one's into, you know, if you're a doctor and you talk about plant medicine, you're a bit of a witch, so to speak. You know, it doesn't work. It's all crap, you know, because there's no hard and fast evidence on plant medicine, because plant medicine is hundreds of molecules working together. So it's not an individual molecule like pharmaceuticals where it's one molecule so they can research and study one molecule and see what the effect is. With plant medicine, it's hundreds of molecules working together to give what's called the entourage effect. So it happened about, I would say probably 5 or so years ago, we had a couple of reps come around from the early cannabis companies and talk to us about medicinal cannabis. And I'm like, all right, sweet, this sounds all right. And then I had, you know, they talked about what, and there wasn't any flower at the time then. It was a couple of oils that you could use, and, you know, there was only a few companies around. But I had this one patient that I just couldn't get her to sleep. I was throwing every sleeping pill on the planet, and she was just a chronic insomniac. And, you know, if you don't sleep, you really do struggle, you know, with day-to-day things. Just the volume knob is turned up on pain, anxiety, you're angry, you're cranky, you know, you can't focus. And so this poor lady was just at her wit's end. She was just hadn't had a good sleep for years. I tried everything in the book, and then I thought, oh, I used to sleep all right after a little bit of a puff, I suppose you could say. So I thought, all right, well, let's have a chat to her about that. And I said, look, would you be interested in trying picking access cannabis oil? And she was all for it. And so anyway, I went through the application that was a really long process back then and got her authorized to try some THC oil. And so I got it in there and told her how to dose it and everything. And 2 days later, she came in and was just singing my praises, hugging me, going, oh, my God, I have had 2 sleeps. I've never slept like this in my life. I'm just like, okay, fantastic. And then as it went on, as the sort of weeks went on, I identified more patients that I thought might benefit, and then I learned more and more about it. And that sort of amazing result that she had, it just became the common thing that anyone I prescribed to and I got the product right would have this amazing response. And I'm just like, all right, there's something in this. And then I just learned more and more and more and got more and more into it, right into it. And then, yeah, one thing's led to another, and I got a few awards, luckily enough, last year. And now I've got my own cannabis clinic in Melbourne, and it's great. It's really good medicine, and it's you know, people come in and they thank me and they get benefits and their lives actually change. Whereas as a normal GP, no one ever thanks you. Like you're treated pretty ordinary as a GP, and mind you, probably because people don't feel that great when they keep coming to see you. There's not, you know, you just keep throwing another pill at them. All right, that's not working. Let's ramp it up then. Take a stronger one.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to get side effects, but you'll be right. So, you know, but and now finally people come in, they want to take their medicine. And the best thing is I'm stepping people down off other medications they're on. So people will come in and they're on an anti-inflammatory, they're on an antidepressant, a sleeping pill, all these type of things, and I can just slowly step off those and stop them rattling as they walk down the street, so to speak.
That is fascinating. Hey, what's the for us and the uninitiated, what's the difference between, say, that stuff that you were having in your younger days? You'd come off the beach and you know, roll yourself a little joint and feel amazing. What's the difference between what you're prescribing, medicinal cannabis, and those doobies, did they call them? I don't know. Anyway, doobies, what's the difference?
Probably there was a hell of a lot cheaper back then. I remember that. Gee whiz.
Was it? Yeah, yeah.
So the stuff, you know, that people buy on the black market, obviously you don't know where it's grown. You don't know what is in it. So a lot of time the street stuff that people get is filled with chemicals. There's stuff called bud booster and stuff like this. It's grown in hydroponic environments. Like, they just super dose these plants to get the highest THC concentration, which the guys on the street think people want. And no, but you don't want that. That's where all the issues can happen. And all the negative things you've heard about cannabis and people having bad experiences after having a smoke and that kind of thing, that is just from too high a THC. So there's a really common theme that a lot of people sort of in our 40s, 50s, that kind of thing, will come and say to me, I used to smoke a little bit, and then towards the end there I was just getting paranoid, or I couldn't handle it, so I haven't touched it since then. Yeah. And that was kind of around that time when all the hydroponics and the super hydro powerful THC came out and just did everyone's head, just blew everyone's head off. And everyone's like, oh, I can't go near that. And that's just because it's too much THC at once. So the stuff on the street, it's not regulated. You don't know what chemicals are with it. The medicinal stuff is so unbelievably tightly regulated. And Australia has the highest standards worldwide. We have the least amount of mold, pesticides. You know, we are the strictest in the world. And so the product that you get prescribed is, you know, A grade, no farms, no chemicals. It's going to be pretty much the same each time you get it, with a little bit of variance because it's a natural product. But you know what you're going to get, and you know what's in it, and you know the strength of it. So that works really well when you're using it as a medicine, because you know how much to take. You know if I have this much, it's going to do that effect. Whereas the street stuff, it's the same amount of 1 week is going to, you know, a flower you get 1 week and do nothing, and the next week it can blow your head off because it's just a totally different one. So yeah, it's a lot better, and it's amazing how tightly regulated the process is in with growing the medicinal cannabis. It really is like high security, really top grade kind of stuff.
Got it.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. So we're talking about one. It's the same. Can we call it a drug or same treatment? Yet it can be used to treat a whole range of different symptoms. Why is that?
Yeah, so that's why it's pretty amazing. So we are very behind in research because of the whole war on drugs for the last sort of 100 or so years. So it's a shame that it's really put us behind on research and understanding the full potential and the full benefits of cannabis, because I have no doubt as the years go on, this plant is going to produce some pretty amazing benefits. It's just a shame that we're behind. But what they found out is that a few decades ago, the scientists over in Israel discovered that, you know, our body produces cannabinoids itself. A scientist found out that we produce cannabinoids ourselves. So, and then they, okay, what do these cannabinoids do? So the same way we make hormones, testosterone, cortisol, all these things, our body makes cannabinoids, which people kind of don't really know. They think, oh, cannabis, cannabinoids. So we actually make them. And then they looked in and thought, what are these two cannabinoids do? What do they do in the body? And so they worked out that we have a endocannabinoid system. So our endo meaning self cannabinoid system, and it circulates through our body to keep everything in balance, or sort of homeostasis. So it's like the master regulator of making sure everything's working all right. So all the cells in our body can express a cannabinoid receptor when they're damaged. So if you've got arthritis in your knee, you've got some inflammation, you've got these type of things, where that cell isn't working properly, it will pop out a little receptor, a cannabinoid receptor, to signal to the cannabinoid system, come and give me a hand, I'm a bit out of whack down here, you know, help me out.
Yep.
So what we do is introduce plant cannabinoids or phytocannabinoids that are a similar shape to the body's cannabinoids that can lock into those receptors and stimulate those changes as well. So that's how it can treat so many conditions just with one sort of medication, because it will just circulate through and find where it can fix. So that's a very general term, but that's pretty much a summary of how it works.
Got it. So for our listeners, what does it treat? Like, you've just talked about inflammation. I know. Yep. I've heard you talk about, you know, you talked about insomnia and sleep. What else can it treat?
Yeah, so first of all, we probably need to separate the two main major cannabinoids in cannabis. So as I said before, it's hundreds of molecules working together, but the two major cannabinoids, so the two main players in cannabis, are THC and CBD. They both do different things. THC, you could say, is the famous one, the one that's in the smoke, you know, the one that makes you a bit sedated, that kind of thing. CBD, on the other hand, you can pretty much think as the opposite to that. So it will give you some good clarity, some good focus, doesn't make you drowsy. And it's the one that I pretty much prescribe the most of, because it's fantastic. It really is a wonderful molecule to have on board, because it'll do the circulating through and look to where it can fix up. So with CBD, things that we treat are anxiety, inflammation, and that's, you know, things like back pain, arthritis, things like that. It's also really good for fibromyalgia, menstrual pain, endometriosis, any of these conditions where there's an inflammatory type response happening, it will help there. So if someone gets benefit from any inflammatory, a Nurofen or prednisone or something like that, then I know, okay, fantastic, you're going to respond to CBD. It's a lot safer. There's no side effects. So let's get it on board. THC, on the other hand, we use that for to help people sleep, okay? Yep. So because it's nice and relaxing. It's also fantastic for nausea. So patients that have got chemo are getting chemotherapy for cancer. That can actually make them quite nauseous, so we can give them some THC because it acts on the same part in the brain to dial down that nausea. And it also can help with some nerve pain and things like that. So, you know, just with those two molecules alone, there's so many things that we can treat. And then I won't nerd out too much on you. There's minor cannabinoids and terpenes and all these different things. But just the general idea is CBD is the one we get on board most of the time for pain, anxiety, you know, these type of things. And then THC we can use a little bit for sort of some further relaxation and sleep issues.
Got it. Great. There's so many things in all of that, isn't there? I'd really like to understand how it can aid high performance. But what I want to know before we get to that bit is, you know, you've laughed and joked a bit about, you know, coming off the beach and having a joint. And cannabis, it's got a PR issue, doesn't it? Like it really does.
Yeah.
Like if you had a magic wand and you could, how do you fix that PR issue?
Yeah, I think we're starting to go about it the right way. So we call it cannabis, medicinal cannabis. It's not marijuana. Marijuana is the term that it's a Mexican name for cannabis. So it was given to the plant by the US government when the Mexicans started immigrating through the south of the states. And unfortunately with them, they brought a bit of crime with them as well, and they smoked marijuana. And that's where this labeling that crime and, you know, doing things wrong and stealing is because of marijuana. And that's where the whole marijuana madness, reefer madness, all that campaign, war on drugs, the scare tactics came from over in the States. But so we now, you know, we have to try and undo that. And, you know, our parents, that kind of thing, you can't blame them for thinking it's bad, because that's what they had drummed into them. You know, when I was at school, I said, I'm never, ever going to go near marijuana. It's, you know, it's the devil. I'm going to end up doing heroin if I go near it.
Yeah.
So we've just got to try and break that down. And I think, you know, I'm doing a lot of work with a company called Levin Health, and they've got some big sports stars on their books as well that I'm actually treating. And when you get people like, you know, we've got Lauren Jackson, Andrew Johns, these type of people, when you get sports stars coming out and saying, hey, I'm using cannabis, I am clearly not your stoner. I am getting things done. Lauren Jackson's about to bloody pay for Australia, okay? So she is absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. You know, people like this who can present and say, look, it's not this devil, this horrible gateway drug that you think it is. It was mislabeled that way. Let's give it another chance, and let's do it properly, and let's use it as a medicine, and the potential is huge.
So we talk about elite sport, then you've got Lauren Jackson about to return to play competitive basketball again. Is it a performance enhancing drug? Is it listed in the WADA database?
No. So the reason it's being banned is because it was an illicit substance. So it was the same as cocaine and heroin. That's why it was banned, not because it was a performance enhancing drug. I mean, THC, for example, if you've ever used, it's hardly performance enhancing. I mean, come on, seriously. You know, unless maybe for, I don't know, like shooting or something like that, where you've got to be nice and calm. I don't know. But,
yes.
But, I don't know. It could be performance enhancing there, or maybe gaming, or one of those new ones that are coming.
Yes, yeah, yeah, that's true.
But in terms of why athletes are getting such good benefit from it is because of the anti-inflammatory properties. So, I've got Andrew Johns or a lot of the ex-AFL players, Damien Hardwick and these guys who bash their body on field. And the old thing was they'd finish the game and get thrown a pack of anti-inflammatories. Here you go, chow down on them for the night. And their guts are just screwed because it just, it gets through the gas through the lining and it just gives them heat. So athletes will, it's not performance enhancing, it's just bringing them back up to where they should be able to perform without the side effects of the other traditional medications that we're used to.
Got it. Yeah, look, that is fascinating. So, I don't know, let's pretend for a minute you're talking to a couple of older blokes who, have got a whole bunch of kids. They've got a whole lot of stresses in life. They're trying to run their businesses, trying to juggle family life with business life. They're not sleeping that well. They like to pursue physical fitness. They get out on long rides and runs and do HIIT workouts and all that sort of stuff. They like to eat healthily. How can this stuff benefit those guys?
Yeah, look, that is the people who it's going to benefit the most. I spoke a lot about professional athletes and things like that. Yeah, they get benefit because they've got a lot of arthritis in their bodies. But sort of your average, exactly the guy you described then, is going to get fantastic benefit because it's going to help with a lot of things. And it's funny, I get people coming back into me and they'll say, I don't know how to explain it, but I just feel a hell of a lot better. It's whether it's dialed down that stress or that racing mind, that anxiety, that worry, it's dialed that down a little bit. It's hit the inflammation and dialed down that back pain or the tight glute or the hammy a little bit. It's worked on the knee pain. It's helped the help your reflux a little bit. It just sort of circulates and just makes you feel better. And it's one medication, that's CBD. It's one medication. So if someone, if that guy, he finishes the long ride, he'd normally go and have some Nurofen or, some Panadol, and then maybe he's on an antidepressant for his anxiety, that kind of thing. Well, we could slowly just reduce all that and have him on one oil. So, that type of person that's in their 50s, 60s, back on trying to do a bit of training, sore, they're going to benefit amazingly. And likewise, ladies going through menopause and the hormonal changes and the lethargy and, some aches and pains that come with that, they'll benefit greatly as well because it circulates through and just fixes up where it can.
Wow, this is crazy stuff. This does everything. Where do we get it? Yeah, I'm going to ask you in a minute, where do we get it and, how do we get it fast? Hey, quick one. Before you came on, just reading, on the internet, forums, there's all of this stuff around, can you get addicted? Mm. Can you drive when you're on it? What's the answers to those questions?
Can you do a podcast when you're on it?
You can. I'm not at the moment, but you could clearly. CBD. No, I am taking CBD. I use that for my anxiety and for my shoulder pain. So So with driving is comes down to THC. So THC is the substance that they look for in your saliva because too much THC would make you intoxicated, and therefore you shouldn't be driving. So the old rule, they say if you've got THC in your saliva, you've likely consumed high THC within the last 9 hours. Therefore, you're probably stoned and you shouldn't be driving. Fair enough, but it's very outdated because you can have levels of THC in your saliva and be totally fine. It's just there from the night before or something. But generally, the rule is CBD, you're going to be fine on a straight CBD product. You're fine to drive. THC, if we're using a bit of THC at nighttime to help someone sleep, then as long as it's been 9 hours, and the doses we prescribe are very low. If it's only been 9 hours, then you're fine to drive the next day. You just got to give your mouth a good rinse. That will remove any residual THC. That's a rough rule. There's no 100% guarantee, but I'm pretty confident with that. If someone needs THC throughout the day, then they can't drive. So, but CBD is the one that does a lot of the work. THC is like the rock star at the front and CBD is the band doing all the work behind the scenes. Right. So that's the one that's safe to drive on. In terms of addiction, no. So THC THC and CBD on their own, no, they're fine. At low doses, they're fine. If someone is consuming high strength THC every day, so your old sort of street users that are just sitting in their garage playing PlayStation and snapping on the Orchibol, so to speak. But they're the ones that they could get addicted because it dials down. So if you're getting external cannabinoids into your body all the time at a very high dose, it dials down your body's natural cannabinoid system. And so when you take that away and stop, you feel horrendous. And so you need to get those cannabinoids back on because your body hasn't kicked into gear. Same way when someone's taking prednisone, you need to wean them down slowly because by taking high dose cortisol steroid, it dials down your natural cortisol system. So you can't stop it all of a sudden. So that's why people say that cannabis is addictive because at that high dose. But no, at the doses that we prescribe, definitely not addictive. Coffee is a lot worse than cannabis. So
yeah.
If you don't have your coffee, you're going to get headaches, you're going to be cranky, and you think you go past the coffee shop in the morning, we're all lining up for our hit, we're all, give me a double, I need a bloody big one today. I mean, that is more of a drug. And, you know, for something to be classed as like a narcotic or a harmful drug, is if it's taken at a high dose, do you get side effects? Well, coffee at a high dose, you're going to get tachycardia, you're going to get poor sleep, you're going to get anxiety. If you miss a dose, do you get symptoms? Yes, if you miss your coffee, you're going to get headaches, you're going to not concentrate. So in my mind, coffee is a hell of a lot worse than cannabis is, but we're all happy to have the roasters on every corner, yet someone has a little bit of cannabis on at home to wind down or, you know, something's wrong with them. So, yeah, so yeah. No, it's not addictive.
Hey, one more comparison. Alcohol, the effect of alcohol on our health, our body, our sleep in comparison to medicinal cannabis.
Because that's exactly how people use it in terms of, you know, you just said, you know, coffee in the morning, alcohol at night, no problems. We've done it for hundreds of years, let's say.
Yeah. So alcohol is a sort of a close one to me because I'm off the booze for about 3 years now. But best thing I've done, I had a bit of a problem. I couldn't sort of stop. Once I'd crack one stubby, it'd be the six pack, then onto the, you know, bottle of wine, then onto the spirits. And then next thing I'm dancing around the kitchen at 5 a.m. flicking the light on and off. So it's not a very good
time. Disco days, back onto the disco. And just
back into it. Got the decks out again. I couldn't just have, you know, and even if I did have just one or two, I would still beat myself up the next day for having it. And, you know, my main view is if someone can have one glass of wine and I'll dinner, fantastic, good on you. But, you know, we're happy for people to do that. It's almost like bragging, right? You know, oh, I'm so pissed on the weekend, you know. And yet it's everywhere and it's so harmful for you, alcohol. Like if you have a couple of glasses of wine at night, you're going to sleep terribly. You're going to be up doing a wee. Your sugar levels are through the roof. You're going to have a horrible sleep. Yet if someone was to have a little bit of cannabis, just a pop, you know, some oil or by a vaporizer, they're going to have a great sleep. They're going to be pain-free. They're going to wake up clear-headed. They're not going to do anything stupid when they're drunk. You know, the worst they're going to do is eat a packet of chips on the couch and kind of go to bed. So, you know, if alcohol is legal and widely accepted as it is, then cannabis should be there with no question asked.
We talked to you earlier, right? We've got all of these people that listen to us, and I reckon all of these people, there's a bunch of them that have got the symptoms or are taking volumes of different things for some of the ailments that you've just talked to. How do they get what you've got?
Yeah, so to come through to me, the easiest way is just to go to my website, so www.drjs.com.au. And then there's the site on there to book myself. I've got a couple of other doctors who do telehealth consults, so we can service Australia-wide. So you book in a telehealth consult, we give you a call, have a chat to you, work out what regime's going to be right, and then we get the products sent to you. So we go through some dispensing pharmacies who sort of manage all this kind of thing, and then the product gets sent out. So you don't have to go anywhere. We get you approved by the Therapeutic Goods of Australia, so the governing body of Australia, so you have nothing to worry about. Once you are prescribed this, it's legal. You still can't drive the THC system, but you are safe to travel with your products anywhere in Australia. There are other clinics around out there, so and there's some people doing some good work, and unfortunately there's some other clinics that aren't doing some great work, so just be careful who you go with. You know, an initial consult should be well over sort of 20 minutes, so the doctor gets to know you, gets to know your history and work out the right product. If you've had a consult and they've banged through it and prescribed you a high-strength flower to smoke and it's not, you know, it's not kind of what you're after, then you've got to sort of question that. So just be careful. If you find a clinic that's run by a doctor who's there working himself, they're normally good. But if you click on those ones that pop up when you do a Google search and they're usually run by businessmen, they're all about the bottom line and they'll just pump through numbers as quick as they can. And unfortunately, they often sometimes prescribe their own products, which doesn't sit very well with me ethically. Come through to my website, www.drjs.com.au. I'm also on social media and I do a heap of stuff on there, videos daily about cases of the day and things like that. So my Instagram is dr.james.stewart. And that's it. Yeah, we've got doctors ready to take your call when you need.
Hey, James, thanks so much for joining us on the D-Landers. It's been insightful.
It has.
We cannot wait to jump on the telehealth call with you shortly to...
It starts in 5 minutes,
yeah,
Blake.
Yeah, it does. To get a little bit of this something to see if it can aid a couple of old blokes in, you know, pursuing their health.
No worries. And if anyone's got questions, just send it to you guys or hit me up on the socials and I'll answer any questions people have. But no, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. And I'll come back anytime you need me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, James. See ya.
See you, mate. Ciao. Bye.